Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
Hello and welcome in. Happy New Year's, Hoosiers. My name's Joe Glover and I am guest hosting today for Matt Dennison, who has a much deserved day off, and I'm very happy to be joining you on the Hoosier Report today. We have got a great show lined up for you. We've got lots to get to today. It's a big day for Hoosier fans, especially those who are tuning in to the Big X 1450 and 96.1 from Jacksonville, Florida. We hope that you're enjoying the weather down there, and I know it's going to be an exciting night for Hoosier fans, hopefully with the correct conclusion down there in Jacksonville later tonight with the Tax Slayer Bowl. We've got you covered for today with the bowl game, and obviously if you are looking for a place to listen to that game live, you can do so right here on the Big X 1450. Make sure you tune in tonight to hear the legendary Don Fisher call the game. Again, that'll be right here on the Big X 1450 96.1. Before we get going, I'd like to encourage you to interact with me on the show. You can do so by following me on Twitter. You can send me a tweet. It's at Joe Glover. That's J-O-E-G-L-O-V-E-R. Again, that's at Joe Glover. Send any questions, comments you might have, and we'll try to get them on the show today. Again, on Twitter, you can find me at Joe Glover. Also, follow Matt Dennison and the show on Twitter at Hoosier Hills, all one word. Again, that's at Hoosier Hills on Twitter. The Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison is also on Facebook. You can find the show there. Make sure that you like the page, and you can get show updates, links to podcasts, and much, much more. Again, make sure you follow the Hoosier Report on Facebook, where you can get all of your show needs and notes right there. Special programming note here on WXVW, John Spears has his show moving to a new time slot, 12 to 2 p.m. starting today. So if you're listening live in the 11 a.m. hour, John Spears is next in his new time slot. So make sure you stick around to listen to his show right here on the Big X, 1450 and 96.1. Let's take a look at today's show lineup. As always, a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. We're going to, in segment one, take a look at the Zaxby's headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. There's a lot of news to get to today, so stick around for that. In segment two, we're going to have Alex Bozich join us inside the hall. He will be joining us to talk about IU basketball, and we might even talk a little bit about the ongoing athletic director search at Indiana University right now. Some news being made on that front. We'll see what Alex has to say about that. In segment three, we've got the one and the only Matt Weaver with Pigs.com, football writer, and he's going to join us from on location at the Gator Bowl to talk more about tonight. It could be a special night for Hoosier sports. Matt will help us break down everything and tell you what you need to know about the Gator Bowl. So that's our guest lineup for today, and it's a pretty good one. Thanks again for joining me here on the Hoosier Report. Stop by Honey Baked Ham in New Albany and mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison to receive $1 off a delicious box lunch made to order. That's our good friends at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. So let's get things started today with the Zaxby's headlines. As always, Zaxby's is sponsored of the headlines here, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. And it's presented by Zaxby's with locations in Jeffersonville and New Albany. Several news stories to get to and headlines about Indiana University athletics, so we're going to go ahead and get into that. Obviously, the number one headline, the football game tonight. IU faces one last test in the Gator Bowl. The 75th annual Tax Slayer Gator Bowl is set for tonight at 7 p.m. It's at the TIAA Bank Field in Jacksonville, Florida. It will be televised on ESPN, and you can hear the radio call right here on WXVW with Don Fisher. IU football comes into the game with an 8-4 record, 5-2 in the Big Ten. Beat Purdue on November 30th, their last game of the year. And their last bowl game was the 2016 Foster Farms Bowl versus Utah, where they barely lost in a 26-24 outcome. Tennessee, on the other hand, 7-5 and 5-3 in the SEC. They've won six of their last seven, and they've won five games straight, their last game being also on November 30th, where they beat Vanderbilt. They beat South Carolina, UAB, University of Kentucky, Missouri, and Vanderbilt to round out their last five wins on the season. Their last bowl game also in 2016 when they played in the Music City Bowl versus Nebraska. They got a big win that year, 38-24 over Nebraska. They've won the last three bowl games that they have played in. So we should have a good one. If you're looking online and trying to get predictions of the football game tonight, you know, really it's all over the place. I think that they're predicting this could be one of the more competitive bowl games that we've had this season. Tonight, IU football has an opportunity to accomplish something that the program hasn't been able to accomplish in decades, including a milestone that hasn't been reached in over a half a century, and we're talking about winning a bowl game, something the Hoosier program can't say it's done since the 1991 Copper Bowl. It would also make this a 9-win season for the Hoosiers with a win tonight, and that will be the first 9-win season since that magical season of 1967 when Indiana made it to its one and only Rose Bowl appearance, and could tonight be that night? The Hoosiers will have to defeat a Tennessee team from the SEC who has been rebuilding, and they've been in a rebuilding mode for the past few years, but both programs desperately are craving that bowl win tonight to show that their programs are back on track, but only one can claim the bowl, and it should be a good one tonight. We're looking forward to it. Our next headline you may not have been paying much attention to, but I want to bring you up to date on it. For those that don't know, the Hoosier women's basketball program has been having a really amazing year. And if you don't know about it, you should. The IU women's basketball team is ranked number 14th in the country, and they held off Rutgers University on New Year's Eve in their last outing. Coach Terry Morin and her Hoosiers are 12-2 overall, 2-0 in the Big Ten, and ranked number 14th in the country. Their only two losses of the season came to the number 10 UCLA and number 2 Baylor, and they're going to continue with their Big Ten play on January 6th with a home game versus Illinois before hosting Purdue on January 9th. Always a big game when you're playing Purdue. That's always a big rivalry game. A couple local connections, actually, with this team, the IU women's basketball team. Grace Berger, who's a sophomore from Louisville, Kentucky, played at Sacred Heart. The 6-foot guard is averaging 13.2 points per game and leading all scorers for the Indiana women. And Allie Patberg, a redshirt junior from Columbus, Indiana, a 5'11 guard, is averaging 12.7 points per game for the Indiana women's basketball squad. Congratulations to the IU women's team on their success so far this season. If you get a chance to make your way up to Bloomington, you should definitely check them out. I know that Coach Morin and the team would greatly appreciate the support as they continue throughout the Big Ten season. A little bit of sad news out of the world of professional basketball today. Last night, we found out that former NBA Commissioner David Stern died Wednesday at the age of 77. After suffering a brain hemorrhage on December 12th. Pat Forty was one of the first to tweet out last night about how he was a transformational commissioner, maybe one of the best that we've ever seen. According to ESPN, Stern was transported to the New York City, or was transported from a New York City restaurant to Mount Sinai West Medical Center to undergo emergency surgery after suffering a brain hemorrhage in that restaurant, and that was back on the 12th of December. Stern succeeded Larry O'Brien as the NBA's commissioner in 1984 after serving as the NBA's general counsel and the executive vice president of the NBA, and he would remain in that role as commissioner until his retirement in 2014. He had 30-year tenure, as Stern oversaw some significant changes in events with the NBA, including the addition of 7 new franchises and 6 team relocations. It's pretty phenomenal. Per ESPN last night, the NBA's television revenue increased 40 times under Stern, and the average player's salary ballooned from $250,000 per year to over $5 million per year as well during his time as commissioner. And while he was the executive president of the NBA, Stern also helped institute player drug testing and a salary cap as well. And one of his greatest accomplishments will always be the formation of the WNBA in 1997. Just a transformational leader for the NBA and the establishment of the WNBA and what it has done for professional women's sports and the sport of basketball cannot be understated. We, you know, think about all of his contributions during the 50 years of that association with the NBA. Stern was inducted into the Naismith Memorial Basketball Hall of Fame in 2014 for all of his accomplishments. He is survived by his wife of 56 years, Diane, and their two sons, Eric and Andrew. And obviously our thoughts and prayers go out to his family and friends and our admiration for what he did for the sport of professional basketball. The Indiana Pacers, you know, being near and dear to many of us here in Southern Indiana, and Stern was so influential and will probably go down as one of the best commissioners we have seen in sports. Another local headline here, IU Southeast hoops update. Our local Grenadiers are playing pretty well so far this season. Our men's team is 11-4 overall and an undefeated 4-0 in the River States Conference. Their only losses of the year have really come to highly ranked teams throughout the NAIA. The IU Southeast men will return to action on Thursday, January 9th, when they host West Virginia Tech at 7:30 p.m. in the Activities Building on the IU Southeast campus in New Albany. And despite some early season injuries, Coach Brown's team has been playing some very impressive basketball and looks to contend at the top of the River States Conference this year. And not only have the men had a really successful early part of their season, the Grenadier women have also experienced some early season success. They are 11-5 overall and 3-1 in the River States Conference. They will also host West Virginia Tech on Thursday, January 9th. Game time is set for 5:30 p.m. in the Activities Building on the IU Southeast campus. I'd like to encourage everyone to come out and support the IU Southeast program this year. Catch a game at our local IU campus. I know personally that you won't be disappointed by the talent or level of play. We've got some great basketball in Southern Indiana, and we really would love for you to come out and take a look at some of our local talent that we have here in New Albany. They certainly represent the sport well and represent our community well. To keep up with IU Southeast sports, visit iusathletics.com or follow the program on Twitter. It's at iusathletics. That's one word, at iusathletics. Sports Information Director Stephen Utz does a great job, and you'll enjoy keeping up with your local IU team there. So far, so good for the IU Southeast men and women during their hoop season, trying to pave the way in the NAI and hopefully contend for a conference tournament and hopefully a trip back to the NAI National Championship. So how many of you guys watched, you Big Ten fans watched the Rose Bowl last night? It was a good one, but sadly this year's Rose Bowl goes to the Pac-12 and Oregon. Wisconsin fell just short, 28-27 last night. As you may know, there was a controversial offensive passing interference call on Wisconsin in the fourth quarter of the game with a team driving, and it really just took all the wind out of the sails from Wisconsin. It was a pivotal play in the game. So now all of a sudden we take a look, and Big Ten schools are 4-4 in bowl games this year. And guess who's got the tiebreaker coming up tonight in Jacksonville? Of course, it's the Indiana Hoosiers playing Tennessee tonight in the Gator Bowl. So it'll be make or break for the Big Ten to see if the Big Ten can have another winning season of bowl games this year. The Big Ten going down last night to the Pac-12, Oregon getting the win in the Rose Bowl over Wisconsin. Our final headline of the day comes quietly, really, for most fans who have been caught up with bowl fever today. Jim Delaney officially steps down as commissioner of the Big Ten after 30 years of service. September 16th was the first day of the job for the new commissioner, Kevin Warren. He started early to take advantage of some transition time with Jim Delaney, but today starts his official reign, and he's going to be taking over as commissioner. For those unaware, Kevin was the former Minnesota Vikings chief operating officer. He is the first African-American commissioner of a Power 5 conference and the sixth commissioner of the Big Ten Conference. I was watching the Big Show last night on the Big Ten Network and was able to watch a great interview with both Jim Delaney and Kevin Warren. And there's no doubt about the impact that Jim has had on the Big Ten. We wish him a happy retirement and thank him for all he's done for the historic Big Ten Conference. Kevin's got some really big shoes to fill, but he seems to be the right guy for the job. And as always, we're going to keep you posted right here with any developments from the Big Ten as Kevin begins to implement his vision for the Power 5 Conference right here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. So those are the Zaxby's headlines. Again, try a Southern TLC filet sandwich, a buttermilk marinated breast filet served with lettuce, tomato, mayonnaise, locations in Jeffersonville and New Albany. Again, Zaxby's headlines. We appreciate them and their sponsorship here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Another programming note, remember John Spears and his show, Spears on Sports, moves to 12 to 2 starting today. That's 12 noon to 2 p.m. If you're listening live in the 11 a.m. hour here to the Hoosier Sports Report, make sure that you stick around for Spears on Sports. That's going to be next in his new time slot, and it can be heard Monday through Friday from noon to 2 p.m. We're going to take a quick break and return with Alex Bozich, co-founder and editor of Inside the Hall. We're going to talk to him more about Indiana University hoops. Thanks again for tuning in today. You're listening to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison on the Big X 1450 and 96.1.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
Welcome back to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. I'm Joe Glover, your guest host, filling in today for Matt. At this time, let's transition to the sport of basketball, and we're lucky to welcome a regular on the Hoosier Report, and I'm talking about the one and only Alex Bozich, editor and co-founder of Inside the Hall. Happy New Year, and thanks for joining me, Alex.
Happy New Year. Thanks for having me.
Well, Alex, I've been a big fan of your work at Inside the Hall, and I'm honored to have you joining me today. Obviously, football is dominating the headlines on a day like today, but this is Indiana, and basketball is never too far from our minds. And the Hoosiers are obviously coming off of a difficult loss at Arkansas back at home on December 29th, and now they turn their attention to the number 15th-ranked Maryland team on Saturday in College Park. You know, they're 11-2 overall, but Big Ten play is about to ramp up in Ernst, and I'm just kind of curious as to what the overall feeling surrounding the program is right now as we enter the new year.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's two ways to look at it. Coming out of the loss, obviously, there's a lot of questions. I think based on the way Indiana lost the game against Arkansas, there's a faction of folks that I hear from who are concerned about how Indiana's going to be able to compete in the Big Ten based on you know, the fact that they were outscored 19-3 down the stretch against Arkansas. It just wasn't, you know, it wasn't a good feeling coming out of that game. The way Indiana lost that game, really one of the worst losses that I've seen in the last few seasons, just based on the fact that they've had an 11-point lead in the second half. They couldn't score down the stretch. They really couldn't get the ball to Trace Jackson Davis at all, and had a lot of turnovers, and it was just a bad way to lose a game. On the flip side, I think if you told most Indiana fans at the beginning of the season that, you know, going to Maryland on January 4th that this team would be 11-2, I think most people would have taken that based on just kind of this roster and its limitations. We all know that Indiana lost its two best players from last season. There was a lot of question marks as to how this team was all going to fit together and how good they had the chance of being. So sitting here now at 11-2, you know, it feels like this is a team that definitely has a chance if they can maybe even just go 500 in Big Ten play, get back to the NCAA tournament. There's just not a lot of great teams this year around college basketball. Indiana's going to have a ton of opportunities to play against tournament-caliber teams here in the Big Ten. And if they can win some games, this feels like a team that has a chance to get back to the tournament, which at this point I think most Indiana fans just want to see this program back in the tournament. They don't care whether it's a 12 seed or a 2 seed. They just want to be back into the discussion in March and hopefully use this season as a building block for better things to come in the future.
Yeah, I think you're exactly right with that analysis. And Alex, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think one of the biggest issues for IU against that in that Arkansas game was its inability in the second half to really get the ball inside. You mentioned it a little bit to Trace Jackson Davis, and combine that with the fact that they had less than stellar perimeter shooting, and it kind of is a recipe for disaster for this IU Hoosier team. How important do you think correcting those issues going to the inside are going to be for the Hoosiers as they enter the Big Ten season, and can they win consistently without getting the ball inside to Trace?
Yeah, it's, you know, I think Arkansas is a little bit of a bit of a unicorn in terms of how they play. It's not really going to be indicative of how teams are going to play in the Big Ten. They took a lot of threes, made a lot of threes, obviously, but and they're undersized. They don't really have a big man. So really what they did in the second half was just pack the paint, and they were over-aggressive in denying the post. Now, I do think that a lot of Big Ten teams are going to kind of dare Indiana to shoot from the perimeter, and whether they can make, you know, I don't think this is ever going to be a team that makes 9 or 10 threes a game, but if they can be a team that at least shoot something like 34-35%. I think they're shooting 31 right now, and make, you know, 6, 7, 8 threes a game. I think that's going to go a long way in being kind of the difference maker of the season. Last year we saw at times Ohio State was a perfect example where they basically, there were certain guys on Indiana's team that they didn't really guard outside of 5 feet. And I think that's similar to what Arkansas did, and Indiana's going to have to start at some point making some perimeter shots, or teams are just going to continue to try to take away Trace Jackson Davis in the inside. I think really the thing that was concerning about the last stretch against Arkansas was, you know, Indiana didn't really make any adjustments. They didn't, whether it be coaching or whether it be the guys on the floor executing, you know, those things kind of have to be working hand in hand, and Archie Miller after the game talked about really how Indiana didn't move down the stretch. I don't know if that's indicative of guys just not carrying out the game plan or the coaching staff not getting that message through clearly as to how they wanted things executed, but that really can't happen for that long of a stretch in a game, and I think that was the reason ultimately that they lost that game. It wasn't that Arkansas was doing anything superior or extraordinary that kind of stopped Indiana late in that game. I think it was Indiana shot itself in the foot with just some really careless plays offensively. Turnovers, took some bad shots, settled too much, and didn't really move. And once Arkansas started hitting threes, I think that kind of carried over to Indiana's offensive possessions. They weren't getting stops and on defense, and then they couldn't score, and it kind of just snowballed. So hopefully it's not a indication of things to come, but Indiana's got some things to figure out offensively if it wants to be a good team in Big Ten play.
Alex Bozich, editor and co-founder of Inside the Hall, joining us here on the Hoosier Sports Report. You know, Alex, it's funny that you mentioned the press conference. I did watch that, and Archie kind of talked a little bit about, you know, solving the inconsistency issue with the team, and especially in that news conference. I know that he mentioned a couple times about inconsistency, and I think as Hoosier fans, we've seen that as well, watching the games play out. Is there a common theme that you're seeing that's leading to that, or is it really just a consistency issue for these Hoosiers?
Yeah, I mean, I think some of it has to do with the fact that, you know, Indiana kind of has some limitations with its roster. There's not you know, Trace Jackson Davis is obviously a guy that has a chance one day to play in the NBA, but you look at the rest of the roster and there's guys that are capable of being solid college players, but there's just not a lot of high-end talent. And what you're going to get with a roster like this is not a lot of margin for error. And so you got to have kind of all pieces working at the same time for Indiana to have good performances against good teams. That happened against Florida State, but against Arkansas early in that second half, we saw good Devontae Green when he started making a bunch of perimeter shots and making some plays, and then we saw bad Devontae Green down the stretch where he made turnovers and missed three-pointers. And kind of going down the list of the roster, most of the guys are like that. They're they're either feast or famine. I mean, Justin Smith has his moments where he's, like last season against Michigan State, where he's really good, and he has other moments where he just disappears. Rob Phinisee, I don't think we've seen the real Rob Phinisee at all this season. I don't know if that's due to the lack of practice time he's had due to injuries or if he's just still not fully healthy, but he did not look like himself the other night. And you know, there's against really good teams, you can't have guys playing well for only half the game, or as a team, you can't really just show up for 25 or 30 minutes. That's really what Indiana did against Arkansas. They played a pretty good game for about 31, 32 minutes, and then basically fell off the cliff the last 8 minutes. And, you know, you can get away with that against, you know, the Princetons of the world or Nebraska, but you can't get away with that against a team like Arkansas, and certainly not going to be able to get away with it at all on the road in the Big Ten. I don't care who you're playing against. And so I think it comes down to guys just kind of accepting their roles, knowing their strengths, and just focusing on those things, and guys not really trying to do things they're not capable of. I think one thing we saw late in the Arkansas game was, you know, Devontae Green reverted to some of the bad habits with crazy passes and turnovers that simply can't happen. Armon Franklin, I think, had two turnovers in that stretch too. You know, those are, you know, you're giving the ball away against a team that can make three-pointers and letting them get out in transition. Those are killer plays. I mean, at least get a shot up or at least try to draw a foul and get to the line. But when you're just turning the ball over consistently against good competition, it's going to end badly, and that's exactly what happened against Arkansas. So I just think, you know, Indiana's margin for error is not very big. And until these guys learn to kind of, you know, execute for – you know, a good 37, 38 minutes a game, they're not going to beat good teams with any consistency.
Yeah, it's funny that you mentioned Devontae Green. He seems to be such a polarizing player. You mentioned the good Devontae and the not so good Devontae. And I was talking to some Hoosier fans over the Christmas break, and he seemed to be one of the players that came up regularly, and people talking about how he's so fun to watch at certain times, but then he can frustrate you to no end other times. And it's been interesting that that's kind of a common theme when they talk about Devontae.
Yeah, I mean, he's, you know, I'll get complaints that, you know, put him on the bench and things like that from fans, but really, in terms of being able to make things happen, besides really Trace Jackson Davis, he's one of the main guys on the roster, just in terms of pure talent and ability. But you know, we're now into this fourth season, and I think ultimately the coaching staff's going to have to live with some of the kind of careless plays and things like that, because there, you know, it's clear that he's not going to change. You know, he has moments where he plays more under control and kind of shows a little bit more maturity, and then he has times where he just tries to do too much. And I think that's kind of built into his DNA of who he is as a basketball player. It's not a negative thing. It's just how he plays. And so anything the coaching staff can do to kind of rein him in a little bit and just kind of get him to understand that, you know, we need you to make big shots. We don't mind you taking some of those crazy shots. But, you know, if you go back and watch the last 8 minutes of Arkansas, he made two ridiculous passes that were just kind of momentum killers for Indiana. You know, if they would have scored on one or two of those possessions, the game could have been totally different. And you can't have that out of a senior guard. But, you know, the solution with Devontae, I don't think is, you know, just saying put him on the bench or give someone else's minutes. Because really, you look down the line and you say who's better than him when they're at their best on this team. And there's not many options. It's just hoping, I think, on a game to game basis that he understands that they need him to be a leader out there on the floor. The other thing that happened in the Arkansas game, I think that was really disappointing for a lot of people, was, you know, the flagrant foul for Al Durham. You know, he was named one of the two captains on this team. For him to do something like that, whether it was uncharacteristic of him, you know, I heard a lot of people say, well, this isn't, you know, something that they would expect Al Durham to do. You know, that's really beside the point. The fact is that he did it, and, you know, him being out of the game, I think, changed the game in a lot of ways, because it gave Indiana one less guard to go with. Rob Phinisee was clearly not himself in the game, and it forced Indiana down the stretch to play Armon Franklin. And as good as Armon Franklin was in the Notre Dame game, he's still a freshman. And Arkansas has a lot of upper-class guards who are super aggressive, and I think they kind of exposed Armon Franklin down the stretch, and that's not Armon Franklin's fault. That's more on Al Durham for making a silly play that he never should have made, and you can't have that out of a captain. So, you know, as much as we want to look at how Indiana played the last 8 minutes of that game, I think some of it also has to be on Al Durham for making a play that really put his team in a bad position.
Yeah, it's great analysis. I think you're spot on there. Hopefully he learns a lesson from that and can really set things moving forward for this IU team. Alex Bozich is joining us, the editor and co-founder of Inside the Hall, and we're talking IU basketball. Let's focus on something a little more positive as we begin 2020, mm-hmm. and let's talk about your recent Big Ten power rankings that you posted on Inside the Hall last night. I was taking a look at those, and I saw that you had IU listed seventh on your list, and you know, how does IU find its path to the top of that list by the end of the season? What are the things they've got to do now and in the next few weeks to be able to move up that list as the year goes on?
Well, I don't see them moving much up much at all, even if they play their best, because I think the top of the Big Ten is just really, really good. Ohio State is a terrific team. Michigan State, it feels like a team nobody's talking about because of, you know, they took some losses early in the season. But, you know, right now, if I were a betting man and had to say who's going to win the Big Ten, I'd probably say Michigan State. They're really good, in my opinion. They have got the best player in the league. They've got the best coach. Michigan is another team that I'm really high on, even though they're missing one of their best players right now, Isaiah Livers, who is out. And definitely with a groin injury, I think Michigan's going to be a force to be reckoned with. And then Maryland, the team Indiana plays on Saturday, I have them fourth, and they're one of the most talented teams. So I don't know that I see Indiana cracking that top four or five at any point this season. I just think the teams at the top are really good. But in a year where the Big Ten is deep and very good, I think they have a legitimate shot at having eight or nine teams in the NCAA tournament. So there's no shame in being kind of in the middle of the pack. I think if Indiana is going to stay kind of in the area where I have them now, and kind of based my rankings right now on just who teams have beaten and who they've lost to through this part of the season, you know, everyone really besides Michigan State and Northwestern is 1-1 in the league. So it's hard to really separate anybody, but you know, Indiana had some really good wins. They don't really have a bad loss to this point. You know, I wouldn't really call Arkansas as bad as it looked. I don't think they're a bad team. I wouldn't consider it a bad loss. Certainly not a loss that's going to be damaging in terms of NCAA tournament resume. But, you know, I think if Indiana is going to kind of stay in that mix, they're going to have to take care of business at home. I think that was the most disappointing thing about the Arkansas game was, this year more than ever, in the Big Ten, teams that win at home consistently are going to be the most successful, because you look at Indiana's road schedule in the Big Ten, there's not a lot of road games out there that they're going to be favored in, if any, and there's probably not a lot of road wins out there to be had. I mean, the teams are just really good at home, protecting home court, and Indiana's got to be one of those teams. So, you know, if they can go on the road and beat a team like Rutgers or Nebraska, that kind of helps make up for that home loss to Arkansas. But more than anything else, I think they're going to have to, you know, win 8-9 Big Ten home games if they want to make the NCAA tournament. That's, you know, the crowds this year haven't been great. Arkansas was probably the best crowd they've had all season. They lost that game. But I think more than anything else, Indiana's got to give people a reason to show up and, you know, continue to kind of pack the house and be supportive of this team, because – you know, there's a certain segment of fans that are going to show up regardless of what the team's doing, but, you know, there's some that are going to show up based on how the team plays, and Indiana's going to get some positive momentum back and hope that they can continue to be successful at home if they want to get back to the tournament.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. And, you know, speaking of home and speaking of packing the house and kind of the administrative part of that, let's shift gears a bit and talk a little bit about the athletic director search. As you might imagine, I've got a lot of curiosity in the athletic director search going on right now in Bloomington, and
right.
I'm sure you do as well. And I was reading a little bit online from Peaks, from Jeff Rabjohns, who was mentioning, you know, three front runners. Obviously, Scott Dolson, IU Deputy Director of Athletics, was manager for the basketball program has worked his way up. The coaches really support him and supported him, I know, in the last time that the search happened with Fred Glass. Chris Reynolds is another name that comes up, the Bradley athletic director, former basketball player, was on that 1992 Final Four team and Big Ten title teams in 91 and 93. And then Pat Kraft, the Temple athletic director, the former football player for the Hoosiers. So those are the three names I've been hearing most often. What are you hearing about the search? Any names that maybe aren't on that list, and kind of what's going on as far as the research you've been able to do on the search?
Yeah, I mean, those are the three names obviously you hear the most from talking to people. The one thing I did kind of hear over the weekend that kind of made me wonder if it's going to be Dolson was that they're not expecting it to take very long. And to me, that says, you know, if you're not going to go outside to get somebody, it feels like if it does move fast, I think that's reason to believe that Dolson's in a pretty good spot to get it. You know, personally, I don't know Pat Kraft, so I can't really comment on the fit he would be, but I have done a lot of research on him, and I feel like he's one of the bright up-and-coming guys in the business, and I think he would be a good fit in terms of just what he's been able to accomplish at Temple and the fact that he's an IU guy through and through. I think he's got something like 4 degrees from IU. Chris Reynolds, another guy I don't know him personally, but I've heard good things. I know he's spent some time in the Big Ten in a kind of an upper level position. He was at Northwestern, I think, before he went to Bradley, and I've heard good things about him. Dolson, I do know. I think he would be great in the job. He's very well liked by people in the athletic department, by coaches. He's just a very engaging, nice man. I don't know if you've had the chance to meet him, but just a guy who always has a smile on his face. I think has done a terrific job fundraising in his role, and so I think he would be a good choice. I don't really think there's, you know, if these are the three guys they're picking from, I don't know that there's necessarily a way they can go wrong. I think all three of them have some strengths, things going for them. They're all IU guys. And, you know, for folks who are kind of clamoring to kind of keep the keep it in-house in terms of hiring an IU person, I think people are going to be happy with any of those three choices. And those are really the names that I've heard the most focus on. We'll see how quickly it goes here. But I think if there's an announcement sooner rather than later, I would think it would have to bode well for the guy who's already in-house, Scott Dolson.
Yeah, so you mentioned Scott. Yeah, Scott and I have actually worked together quite a bit, you know, me and my role at IU Southeast as director of athletics, worked with him quite a bit, and I think a lot of them, I know a lot of people do, and I think it'll be interesting to see what comes out of the search. But it's, as people always say, these athletic director searches, they, you know, it's an interesting process, and you just never quite know where they're going to go. So we'll see. Time will tell. But, Alex, thank you so much for joining us. I really appreciate it. I appreciate all you do for Inside the Hall and keeping us Hoosier fans updated on news. And, again, just can't thank you enough for joining us here today.
I appreciate it. Happy New Year. Thanks for the time, and have a good rest of your day.
You too. We're going to take our last break and return with Matt Weaver, football writer from Pigs.com. He's in Jacksonville, Florida right now, and he's going to update us on everything we need to know ahead of tonight's Big Bowl matchup between the Hoosiers and the Volunteers. Thanks again for tuning in today. You're listening to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison on the Big X 1450 and 96.1.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
Welcome back to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. I'm Joe Glover, your guest host, filling in today for Matt, who's hopefully enjoying his day off. We're lucky to welcome in another regular here on the Hoosier Report. I'm talking about a guy I'd like to trade places with right now on this cloudy and soon-to-be rainy Southern Indiana day. And that's because he's in Jacksonville, Florida, getting ready for tonight's potentially historic game. Of course, I'm talking about Pigs.com football writer Matt Weaver. Happy New Year, Matt. Thanks again for joining the show.
I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Well, Matt, I've really enjoyed following this bowl experience on social media. Shout out to the social media gurus at IU for helping us live vicariously through them during this entire experience. But you're down there, and I'm just curious to know, how has it been to be down there and in the mix? Kind of set the scene for us.
It's been fun. I got down here a little bit later than others. I got down here yesterday afternoon, so they had a big pep rally near the place, but it's right on the beach. It's well attended. Seemed to have a good time, and a lot of IU fans down here. I'm at the Media Hotel, which is the Hyatt Regency downtown, and there's obviously a lot of Tennessee fans, but a lot of IU fans have made the trip, and so it's just obviously IU hasn't been to a ton of bowl games, but definitely feels different than the last couple as far as kind of just the mood and how many people are here for the game, you know, for as far as IU fans and all that. And it's weather right now looks great. It's nice and sunny outside, so hopefully it stays that way. And it's supposed to be pretty good, like in the 70s, I believe, high 60s for the game. So weather should be an issue, and hopefully it's a good game.
Thanks for rubbing it in, Matt. I appreciate the weather forecast. That's great.
No problem.
Hey, you know, it was announced last night that the IU Gator Bowl ticket allotment had been officially sold out for the IU fans, which is great news, obviously, for IU administrators, but also for the team. What do you make of that news? It seems like a pretty big step in the right direction for the IU football program and for the athletic department to have that happen in this Gator Bowl.
Yeah, I think it's huge, and it's not just, I mean, obviously it's big for this game. I mean, it shows that they're coming out, they're supporting the team, and I think they said they're expecting over 60,000 people, which is, you know, for a bowl game, that's fantastic. For any game, that's fantastic, but, you know, for bowl games, which obviously a lot of them are not hugely populated, but it's going forward, I think it's even bigger because, you know, that's something that bowl games look at. You know, how do your fans travel? How do you support your team? And obviously, in the home games, Indiana struggles with fan support. I think we all know that. I mean, the attendance isn't great, but, you know, this shows that, you know, they have success. This makes them more appealing, more marketable going forward when they qualify for bowl games. And maybe it's between them and another school, and they look back at this and say, hey, you know, they gobbled up the tickets. They came out in full force. They really supported the team. And, you know, that just, you know, I think it's huge. Like I said, it's huge for this game because this team deserves it for the season they've had. But going forward, it just really helps the program when they qualify for more bowl games, and maybe it's coming down to them and another school or two. And you know, this could be one of the feathers in their cap to get a better bowl game.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. Obviously, we turn our attention now to tonight's game, right? We've been building up. We've had the outings through a couple of days. We're building up to the actual kickoff here tonight and really a game that it's going to be special, number one, because it's going to be the only football game on TV tonight, which is a position that IU is rarely in, which I think is another great step for the program. But, you know, what are some of the top things that we need to know about this Tennessee team that's coming into tonight's game? It seems like momentum is kind of on their side, you know, winning six of the last seven and winning their last five games straight. Tell us, those of us that maybe haven't been following the Tennessee team as closely, what we need to know about them tonight.
Well, offensively, big receivers, you know, kind of similar to like a Michigan, you know, big athletic receivers. Now, their best receiver, Juwan Jennings, he will be out for the first half. He's suspended for the first half for stomping on basically a Vanderbilt player in their last game of the season. So he will play in the second half, and he's been a very productive receiver. They don't have a lot, the receivers, when they make plays, are usually, they have their yards per catch are pretty good. They're not a big play offense. They were second to last in the SEC in plays of 10 yards or more. You know, you don't want to give up. To me, a key for Indiana is limiting the big plays. Don't, you know, make them have to grind it out. Their quarterback struggles a little bit with accuracy, sub 60%. Defensively, they're going to run a 3-4. They'll switch it up, but they're kind of a base 3-4 defense, which is unusual. Not a lot of teams do that. Just like an SEC team, big physical defensive line and front seven. Athletic on the back end. You know, I think Indiana, if they can protect, will have some opportunities to pass the ball. You know, to me, running the ball, you don't have to go crazy. You don't have to run for 200 yards. But I mean, it'd be nice if you could. That'd be great. But running efficiently enough that you keep them honest. Special teams going to be another key factor. They're going to have speed. This isn't a vintage Tennessee team, but they're still going to have some SEC speed. So, you know, special teams don't want to give up any big plays there, any mistakes that really turn the game.
It's not a vintage team, but there is some good talent on this team. Offensive line, I think they're out, their center's out, so I got to shuffle their O-line a little bit, but it's a solid O-line. Comparable probably to a Michigan State, maybe a little bit lesser Penn State team in the Big Ten would probably be a fairly decent comparison for this Tennessee team.
Yeah, that's good information. I think a lot of us haven't been quite following them along, especially the way they started their season. We didn't think they would be bowl eligible, and then now to see where they've come from there at the end of the season, that's a good analysis. One of the things I always wonder about, these two teams last played on November 30th when I was looking back and doing some research for the show today, and if my math's correct, which sometimes it isn't, it is 34 days ago. 34 days ago since these teams have been in live action, in a game. And, while that does give you time to heal up from those nagging injuries throughout the season, I can also imagine it creates some unique challenges. How have these head coaches and their staffs prepared for that long of a layover? I know it's not something Indiana has had to do that much in the past.
Yeah, to me, I think that as a coach would be, even if you do it every year, would be one of the more difficult things. When do you kind of ramp up practice? How do you set up the schedule so that, you get the guys back, but you don't get them back too soon? Because with your practice and your preparation, you don't want to peak too much before the game. You want to, and obviously with this being, bowl games are all on different days. It's not a typical, Sunday to Saturday kind of a deal. So, you obviously got the holidays, you got Christmas and all that kind of stuff you have to work around. So, I think it'll be interesting to see, the coaches that, the assistants and stuff that we've talked to have been very complimentary of the schedule that Tom Allen put together, for this bowl game. And obviously a lot of these guys have experience even before they came to Indiana, playing in bowl games, coaching in bowl games. So, they have an idea how to do it. Tom Allen has done that before, so it's not new for them. But obviously for the players, except for a small group of players, any player that came on in this program 2017 and later has not played in a bowl game. So there's not maybe 20, you're as far as scholarship guys, it's not a big group. So there's a lot of guys who've never gone through this before. So I think to me that'll be interesting to see. In Tennessee, obviously, they haven't had a ton of bowl experience recently either. So, that's one of the things. Who comes out sharp? I think Indiana, both teams are probably, I would imagine, come out motivated. I know Indiana will because this is a big game for them. But, is there rust? And offensively, a lot of times when you see it, especially in the passing game, is the timing off? Is the rhythm a little bit off? Because you just haven't done it in so long. But, who gets their feet under them first and who gets that kind of gets back in the flow of things, and a lot of times who gets off to the fast start is a lot of times in these bowl games who wins. Not always, but, I think that's going to be important for Indiana, getting off to a fast start and maybe kind of getting them on their heels, and hopefully that's what happens.
What's the day look like for the Hoosiers? I'm not sure if you're familiar with their schedule today, but what are they doing right now? How are they going to be leading up to the game tonight at 7 o'clock?
Well, they played a 7 o'clock game earlier this against Northwestern. Obviously it changes your schedule. Obviously you're going to try to get your meal in. I'm not sure the exact time, but obviously their trainers and nutritionists and all those, they know exactly when they should eat and, how they should hydrate. That's another thing. You've seen a lot of cramping in bowl games. With bowl games I've watched, you've seen a lot of teams cramping up. And, you have to hydrate not just a few days. You have to hydrate really, days and days ahead of the game. You just can't try to do it the day of or day before. So I'm sure that's something they've been doing, making sure these guys are hydrated and drinking lots of water and all the stuff they have to eat to make sure their bodies are ready. But, they'll probably get to the stadium if it's like normal time, two and a half hours before the game, and I'm not sure what time they'll eat before that. They'll be coming from their hotel. And then obviously it's just a normal game day. It's a Thursday. For them, it's a Saturday. And you start getting ready, get out of the field, start warming up, and then go through your really kind of more intense warm-ups and get back in the locker room and come out and play the game. So, I'm sure the players and the coaches, I was actually texting with the coach and just kind of asked him how he feels as assistant coach, and he said anxious. And I'm sure that's what they are. They're ready to play the game. They've been waiting, like you said, for more than a month. And it's time to go out there and see what they can do and see if the preparation they've done has been the right preparation.
Good stuff. Matt, you know, after the Rose Bowl game last night, I was watching the Big Ten show on the Big Ten Network, and I found out that the Big Ten is now 4-4 in bowl games this season. And it all comes down to IU tonight to break the tie in the bowl games. And if IU does win, it'll be the third year in a row that the Big Ten has had a winning bowl season, and it'll be the first time in conference history that that's happened. No pressure, right? So what does IU need to do to win this game tonight?
It's kind of cliche, and I say it for every game, but I just believe, even in today's football with the spread offenses and all the window dressing that things teams do, to me, football is still at its basic core, teams who play better up front win. The team that's better in the trenches usually wins the game. And I think, like I said, they don't need to – it may be great if you can run for 250 yards, but you just need to be able to – Indiana's a passing offense. They were one of the – I think they were second by like a yard – in passing offense to the Big Ten. They throw the ball incredibly well, no matter who's at quarterback. But you also got to be able to run the ball a little bit. You can't be, they know you're passing every time, they could tee off on you with their pass rush. That's not good. So, it starts up front, run the ball efficiently, but protect him for Peyton Ramsey, giving him time to throw. If he does, I think there'll be some opportunities to make plays. And then defensively, try to get them in some long second and eight, second and nine, third and eight, third and seven kind of deals where they got to do some things that maybe they're not comfortable with. And maybe get some mistakes and get some turnovers. And then, special teams are always huge. I mean, people kind of overlook them, but those hidden yards a lot of times determine the outcome of the game. So, winning that field position battle, winning those hidden yard battle, not getting, not making mistakes that lead to easy points, giving up cheapy points is what I call them, on special teams. And, I know it sounds simple. That's how every football game really comes down to that kind of stuff. Who can do that better usually wins. Look last night. Wisconsin outgained Oregon, kind of dominated them, but they turned the ball over a bunch and it cost them the game. I mean, that's the kind of stuff that can't happen. And so protect the ball, win up front, and you got a chance to win this game.
Yeah, Matt, thank you so much. Matt Weaver, Pigs.com football writer, giving us the breakdown. Good luck tonight. I hope you enjoy the game, and hopefully the Hoosiers will get a big win here tonight.
I appreciate it. Take care, and thanks for having me.
Thanks again, Matt. Enjoy the game, and like I said, hopefully we'll be celebrating a big win tonight. Look forward to having you back next week. Stay safe down there. And this is going to pretty much do it here for today's Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. We'd like to thank Matt. Obviously, Matt, thanks for letting me fill in for you today. Big shoes to fill in for. I'd also like to thank Dugan Ryan, the station owner of WXVW, and Douglas Wolverton for producing today's show. Have to give a special thank you to my brother-in-law, Covey. He may or may not have let me borrow his Pigs login to do some show prep today, so plausible deniability is still intact there, Mike. Remember, if you're listening to this live show at the 11 a.m. hour, John Spears will be up next with his new time slot, Spears on Sports. That time slot's going to be Monday through Friday from noon to 2 p.m. He's going to be following us up right here after the Hoosier Report. So look forward to hearing John and his new showtime here on WXVW. Again, big night for the Hoosiers. We'll see what happens. We are very excited to see. Hopefully they can get a big win against Tennessee. It's going to be a big night, and we're hoping that the IU team is able to represent the Hoosiers well and hopefully be able to set a really historic season for the Indiana Hoosiers and cap it off. I'm Joe Glover. I will catch you in the next one. Enjoy the game tonight, Hoosier fans. You've been listening to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.